we've heard over and over, you can repeat after me, since the pandemic, mental health issues like anxiety and depression have been rising, especially in kids. And we've also been hearing about how important therapy is and a new development, online therapy. A famous swimmer does it. But does everyone really need therapy? Our next guest says no, and she would stand to benefit with more patience. Now, we rush to say, if you're feeling very dark thoughts like hurting yourself, oh yes, seek help. But there are more choices out there than the traditional therapist, as we're going to hear from Dr. Emily Edlin, a clinical psychologist and co-host of the Psychologist Off the Clock podcast. She wrote a column for the Washington Post titled, Not Everyone Needs Therapy. Emily, doctor, it's a wide-ranging article, as we're going to hear, but that headline alone, I'm just wondering, was there shock in response?
I did get some negative feedback for sure, yeah. Right off the bat. I think it's it feels counterintuitive to, I think, how we've been trained as a society to think about therapy. Yeah.
Well, this is heretical to some people. You know, you have to go see a therapist. And so let's just get some definitions out of the way. You've told us a therapist, a talk therapist, is someone who literally does talk to you and tries to get you maybe through an impasse by you speaking to them and hearing yourself talk, and they nudge you along the way. But the goal is to get through that impasse. Then there's psychoanalysis. That's the image a lot of people have, that you're lying on a couch, and it's a very deep process. Somebody who has a higher training. And it can sometimes be, you know, days in a row where you are plumbing your past. But who is it that needs to see a therapist? And you say many people do.
We use the term significant impairment in functioning as one of the criteria that needs to be met for a diagnosis. And that really refers to something not working well in life, whether that's unable to perform at work, having really unhealthy, damaging personal relationships, or not being able to do your daily activities regularly, like get out of bed.
Yeah. And there's another thinking about therapy, which ties into a lot of 12-step group work, you know, addiction work, which is that talk therapy is about trying to figure out if there's something in your past that's maybe impacting you now. Is that something that's valuable from therapy, trying to, in talking about how you feel, realize that maybe there's something impeding you from the past? It's not just that you're working too hard.
Right. Well, we all carry patterns with us from our youngest years, and a lot of those come to fruition in our adulthood in ways that can be surprising. And so I think it can be really useful. And that is part of therapy that can't be replicated elsewhere, in my mind, that there's someone else helping you, a neutral, objective person helping you put together pieces that are threads through your life that may be part of a dysfunctional pattern.
Right. But here's where we come to the thinking that, you know, yes, if you need that, great, but not everybody needs that. But it always should be about setting a goal, you know, what you want to achieve in therapy and moving on, or understanding that you don't need to go to therapy. You can do what? Talk about some of the coping skills that you say might even be better for some people, things they can do for themselves to move on.
We are living in a time of unprecedented access to support and resources that we just didn't have before. So I think it's actually a really exciting time to feel empowered to not need to go to a therapist's office necessarily. You know, groups can be more powerful than individual therapy when you're managing a really difficult life situation such as grief. I think that even podcast episodes can be really helpful in understanding therapeutic concepts or ways to promote our own personal growth in areas that are important to us. I mean, we have more access to experts than ever before, and it's free.
Well, you mentioned the psychology podcast, All in the Mind. You talk about mental health and meditation apps, Calm, Insight Timer, those that label emotions, how we feel. There's workbooks. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, so I think this is actually really exciting too. So we, you know, for decades, certain approaches have been studied. Cognitive behavioral therapy and acceptance and commitment therapy are two of the most well-supported therapy interventions. But I have to tell you, they are not rocket science. They're actually pretty easy to use and learn. And so there are these workbooks that have been created by experts in the field. And some of them are more general, such as ACT for anxiety, whereas others are really specific. And so I think if you just do a search, it's worth trying to do some of these workbooks on your own to learn skills.
You also say read memoirs of people who have, you know, expressed the same challenges you are undergoing. That helps. Join community groups. There's all sorts of 12-step groups and groups that are addressing the same kinds of emotions that you may have. And you're saying all of this not because you don't want people to get help. You want them to get the right help, because there's thinking now, we understand, that sometimes for some people, being in talk therapy and thinking this is something you have to do your whole life can backfire, in that it can reinforce the problem you keep talking about.
Absolutely. I think if there's not forward movement in therapy, it's not benefiting. And I have had this talk with my own clients when I see a major plateau. Maybe we've worked together for a long time and there has been progress and improvement, and then it's plateauing. It's not a good use of time or resources. I mean, we also know that there's a shortage of mental health providers and long waiting lists right now. And I really want to make sure that the people who need it most are able to get into the services.
Right, because again, we want to reinforce, you say, throughout, you know, if you're feeling you need to harm yourself or you just want to exit this stage, you need help. And you're not saying that's not true, and it's certainly not true even on a lesser level that people don't need help. They might need a therapist, but these are alternatives, especially, you know, therapy is often expensive, not covered by many insurance plans. And you say sometimes consider a coach instead of a therapist. Mm-hmm. Obviously they're not licensed therapists, but what would a coach do?
Yeah. So I think, you know, we have parenting coaches, career coaches who will be more specific. If you're feeling really stuck in your professional life or you're really struggling in your family life, there are ways that you can narrowly focus on that that doesn't require therapy. You're not suffering on an individual level in a way that's getting in the way of your life, but you would like these parts of your life to be better or to improve. And so I think coaches can offer that. Now, therapists can be coaches and offer coaching services, but coaches don't have to be therapists.
Right. Look, you say this is all about recognizing that certain feelings, you know, anxiety, they're sometimes good for you. They're part mm-hmm. of your growth. You say it's like digging. It's, again, not if you absolutely know you have a problem. You need someone to help you with that digging. But a therapist can help when it's hard to grab the shovel to start. I love that phrase. They'll help you with that digging. But it is sometimes a good thing for you to do.
Absolutely. And I worry in our current culture, there's this wellness movement and wellness industry that's feeding us this message that we're supposed to feel good or be happy all the time. And that is actually not emotional health. Emotional health is being able to really feel a range of emotions and cope with them.
Dr. Emily Edlin, clinical psychologist, co-host of the Psychologist Off the Clock podcast. That's another one you could listen to. Emily, doctor, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Robin.